The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in the doctrine of prayer, Roman numeral 6, page 7 of our notes. Turn to Romans 8, 26, if you'd like. All right, we desire to truly benefit from the study once again at hand this evening. It demands that we earn a filling of God the Holy Spirit so that we have the ultimate author of Scripture, the very author of the things that we are studying, to lead us and guide us and direct us to the truth of these matters apart from the interference of the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for your perfect word. We thank you for the instruction, the love, the compassion, the grace and mercy that you continually bestow upon us so that we can pursue and seek you, to understand you and know you in regards to your plan for our lives, and that this will be our eternal boast, albeit God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, having been instructed in regards to the proper protocol of prayer, the proper address to God the Father, that all prayer is in the name, the person of Jesus Christ, with the prerequisite of God the Holy Spirit, and hence in the power of God the Holy Spirit, aligned with the truth of Bible doctrine, the adjusted believer has on their behalf extra help, if you will, from God to intercede for us at the throne of grace to ensure that the very needs that we have, even though often not able to verbalize it, conceptualize it strictly in our minds, God the Holy Spirit reads these things. And he passes that prayer along for us to our benefit. That's the issue and subject of Roman numeral 6 here. When we follow the prescribed protocol and have complied with the necessary prerequisites for prayer, God the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8, 26 and 27 documents this fact. And in the same way, the Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness in the existence of our human body being temporal, finite. Obviously, we cannot know all things. Some things are, if you will, beyond our grasp of articulating clearly. Because of lack of knowledge, other information, etc., including the tests that we may be under and the pull and struggle with our own SCAs seeking to look for God's will in the matter. That's when he helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Any one of us can probably pull off a number of people or other situations that simply based on the situation or the person. Our prayers are generally very generic, and because of their absence, gone from Bible class, not within our company, things of this nature. We do not know everything that it would one might otherwise, who are extremely familiar with them, could pray for them on their behalf in regards to God's will for their matter, for their lives, and any other circumstances, situations we may find ourselves in otherwise on a personal level. Some things, just God, some tests just come at us, and they're, if you will, gray in scope. It's essentially faith, rest, pray, and wait, not knowing exactly what direction one may go, waiting for God to open and close doors, things of this nature. And so where we're in situations, conditions like this in our life, that's when, obviously, the benefit of being in fellowship and otherwise trying to communicate to God our desire and our need, God the Holy Spirit steps in. And that's when we do not know how to pray as we should. It doesn't mean that we don't have doctrine. It just means that we're not omniscient. We don't know all things, see. We don't know how people's volition is going to go from one day to another sometimes. See. So, again, the prayers are thrown out, if you will, as a fly ball. Not trying to get your mind off anything here. For God to catch and filled on our behalf, see. And when we pray in this regard, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That looks at a language of need, desire, beseeching, if you will, God, beyond, if you will, conceptual comprehension. Groaning too deep for words. As if someone is under extreme lupe or pain and, you know, trying to figure out what God's doing in regards to their lives. But God, the Holy Spirit, is there. He is operating continually on our behalf in communicating in the third heaven, in the throne room, to the Father, exactly what it is that we are praying about. And verse 27, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Yes, the Father obviously is in a complete harmony and like-mindedness with God the Holy Spirit. And so their communication, their rapport is perfecto at the level of the Godhead, and only in a way only God can truly discern, decipher, and understand and know all things. See, because He intercedes for the saints according to, as correctly supplied, the will of God. So, even a believer that is positive to Bible doctrine and in fellowship may have certain weaknesses in prayer. Just a weakness of the flesh, the limitations of our knowledge and knowing all things, etc. All these things obviously constrain us in regards to our capabilities and abilities sometimes to fully express ourselves. Even one who is positive doctrine, one who is in fellowship, doesn't always know every answer to every situation. So be one problem in this regard is being able to speak or think the correct prayer in a given situation. Someone's under a test. You don't know exactly what God's doing in their life. You know, tests can come in the form of deserved and undeserved suffering. You don't know every aspect of their life. You don't know whether God's simply just giving them undeserved suffering and testing, or whether or not it is part of divine discipline or what. You know. Sometimes it's obvious, but others it is not. And to correctly verbalize it in our minds, in our thinking, to God, falls short. So see, lacking omniscience, the ability to foresee and know all things, we are inadequate at times to offer a prayer that covers all the bases in a particular situation. Our limitations are, when you look at Bible doctrine, look at God, and start to know and understand truly what this creative being is all about, the supreme being in the universe, his capabilities, his power, the ability to multitask at a level that no man will ever create a computer to match it. Be able to conceptualize in one instantaneous moment everything that's going on in the world and has been or will ever occur. And to have a perfect perception of that. I mean, it's hard to wrap our minds around something like that. But that's God. And God obviously has a perfect plan. And everybody has a place in that plan. They will fulfill a part of it, whether it's in service of Him or whether it's antagonism to Him. All things will end up ultimately glorifying God because everything will come together according to God's perfect design and execution in regards to His plan. And He is able to evaluate, critique things, obviously in ways that we cannot. So B, when we offer a legitimate prayer, obviously we're not violating doctrine. We're not praying that God coerce volition. You're not praying somebody for God to deliver somebody from death if they're sinning to death, because we're told not to do that. Things of this nature. When we offer a legitimate prayer, you're in fellowship. Doctrine is at the forefront of your thinking in regards to things. God the Holy Spirit, point D, then takes up the slack. He perfects the prayer and brings it to the throne of grace. It's like He interprets perfectly the doctrine in our soul as it should be offered on our behalf. That's phenomenal. To have that kind of assistant. That's better than a pocket computer, an iPod or whatever, see. To have God on your side continually as necessary to interpret on our behalf. E, the Holy Spirit presents a prayer through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, as everything goes through Him, His person, who is totally cognizant then of the believer who is offering up the prayer. He knows all the ins and outs, whether they're positive, if there's going to be further positive volition or a positive volition otherwise. You know, He knows all these things. Again, we don't. Whether or not they're truly following NPR or if they're just evading their responsibilities, things of this nature, see, etc. So F, the request that is presented is now totally in line with the divine essence and divine viewpoint. That's often, you know, your prayer is, God, your will be done, because you can't really articulate all the ins and outs of what's going on. All right, Roman numeral 7. Again, a benefit for those adjusted to doctrine approaching the throne of grace. Roman numeral 7, here we take prayer and we classify it in certain classifications. The acronym we use is CTIP. C, A stands for confession of sin. Obviously, rebound is a prayer. You are acknowledging to God in a form of communication of your sin in the life. So, Matthew 6:12, in regards to the model prayer, probably, yeah. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, our sins, as is otherwise translated in parallels. So that's part of the model prayer. Rebound is there. Again, he is simply, in the model prayer, lining out the priorities of areas of which one must pray. He's not saying wait till you get going in your prayers to pray here, to rebound. But it's a recognition of the power of rebound and the necessity for us to keep our own SCAs continually isolated otherwise. towards others, especially in the area of forgiveness. Luke 11:4 parallel. 1 John 1:9 then is the mechanics for rebound. Again, the Bible assumes all believers in the New Testament church age, all believers are indwelled with God the Holy Spirit. We're never commanded to be indwelled. It's a given. But we are commanded to be filled with God the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, rather than being under the sin nature such as in a state of drunkenness. When we get that condition, we're out of fellowship, as we would say. And what we have to do then is experientially acknowledge those sins to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess, homologeo in the Greek, again, does not mean you have to feel sorry. You don't have to emote. You may not. Whatever. It simply means to acknowledge, to cite, to name. Emotions unattached, not of necessity. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I know people that are in Bible class and they still rebound. Well, good. How long is it good for? You know, they're abandoning Bible class. They're in a state of reversion. And you tell me. You know, obviously, people can rebound and they're not forgiving somebody else in their life. They're still under their sin nature, under hatred. So the rebound is like shooting blanks. For that one nanosecond, maybe you're in, you don't think about them until they come to thought again. So, we understand the realities as is presented by doctrine. These other things are nothing more, usually, you will find excuses for people that want to give other people excuses or find excuses for themselves. B, then the T, beginning the tip, first and foremost is thanksgiving. All of our prayers be done in thanksgiving. Obviously, what we are thankful for is too numerous to list, or we'd be here for a long time, truly, if you could actually list it all. But obviously, we can look at it overall, first and foremost, one, for specific blessings, things that God may provide for us spiritually, physically, and otherwise. The noun thanksgiving is used 15 times, and the verb 39 times in the New Testament for blessings. The list of blessings include God, His plan, His Son, the Father, His perfect plan that is going to be fulfilled. The movie has already been set forth. The writer has architected it. It's now in motion and being played out. And it will come to a conclusion exactly as the author determined that it would end, see, or continue, however you want to look at it, to eternity. Obviously, His plan is perfect. His plan is what you can depend upon. God the Son, which is the instrument, the person of our so great salvation in execution. Our salvation. Nothing to sneeze at. We don't have to concern ourselves with eternal damnation. Eternal condemnation. Doctrine over time builds your confidence in regards to that fact. Generally, what people will face otherwise in question is whether or not they've completed their course and going to maximize in regards to their SG3. Prayer, to be able to communicate with God. If you will, have a mind-to-mind with Him. A private conversation, knowing He always hears you. The rebound provision. Don't have to go around genuflecting, doing a bunch of other gymnastics in regards to our life every time we mess up. You don't have to go in and, if you will, do a bunch of good things to try to wipe out one bad thing, like most people perceive finding forgiveness from God and in life in this regard. You sin, you name it, you're back in fellowship. The self-righteous legalists do not like that concept. A bunch of sinners at that church. We got rebound. So what? You're a sinner too. Now you tell me who's going to advance before God, who is God going to embrace regards to people and their sins. It's rebound. No, it is not a license to sin, even if people may abuse it to be such. It is a license to serve God. And we didn't make it. We didn't make up the plan. He did. This is not some idea of ours. We have all the documentation. We have an entire doctrine surrounding and addressing the issue of rebound and the necessity for it. How many believers out there recognize the fact, number one, that they got a human spirit? And a lot do. But how that human spirit is enabled to function experientially on our behalf? Only through rebound. In that regard, see. To be able to function in under the umbrella of righteousness that God embraces, that God accepts. Which cannot be relative. It must be absolute. Therefore, it must be with the entities of God, the Holy Spirit, the human spirit that is set apart for the truth. See. Our doctrine man, as we would call it in prep school. So a rebound. Yeah, your SCA gets the best of you. Join the crowd. But you got a rebound. Living grace. He keeps a roof over our heads. Substance to live on. To be in Bible class, to grow up spiritually, to make application. Even the more financially tested believers in our country, their living grace is still over and beyond. Right man, right woman. Husband and wife, if you're married. That's a blessing. To thank God that He brought your right opposite number to you. Especially those who are on doctrine. But even otherwise, God's hand was in it. The local church. Sometimes people tend to take the church for granted. Oh, they'll be there. Trust me, that's not any guarantee. I mean, Christ Himself warned the church of Revelation, I'll remove your lampstand if you don't get your spiritual act together. That means that their entity as a local congregation is going to be dispersed. It's going to be gone. Even in my own ministries prior to coming here, I saw the difficulties people face in regards to establishing a local church, to sustain it, etc. And watch people get all excited for a few months, but then as the testing starts coming on and the wear and tear, you know, of NPR that starts taking its toll, how everybody starts dropping off like flies. And nothing. Yeah. You give them the only instruction you know what to give them. Pack up and move where there is an adjusted local church. Your pastor, teacher. Yeah. I won't say nothing because I don't want to sound self-serving. Deacons. I will say something there. You need to appreciate these men. they step up to the plate at all times in regards to the needs physically of this church as well as other aspects spiritually. Now, they're not perfect. But when you are, come and look me up, and we'll run you through the checklist and see. Other positive believers in the local church. Another thing, and I'm not saying that everybody's got to be buddy-buddy. Everybody has their own lives. Everybody has their own niches. But this whole idea of embracing negative cosmic types over positive volition for fellowship, to be your closest associates in life, where's the doctrine in that? Where's being led by God the Holy Spirit in that? We're all here together as a unit, whether we like it or not. Personalities aside. We're in this boat together. We are to have this camaraderie as an assembly in a witness, in unity of like-mindedness of doctrine. And that demands that we embrace one another in fellowship. Obviously, every time we come to Bible class, we have that fellowship. But otherwise, more or less addressing things that most of us have seen in the past. People that are maladjusted, wanting to run with people in the cosmos, embracing them because people in Bible class don't meet their self-righteous damn standards. I've heard it. I've heard it. A lot of it. Oh, well. Your job. You got a job. That's something to be thankful for. Do your work as unto the Lord. Let God bless it instead of being maladjusted to it. The angelic protection that we have. Again, we'll probably some of us have our minds blown when we get to phase 3 and meet some of the elect angels that were assigned to us on our behalf to protect us in the angelic conflict. Yeah. Remember this stupid thing you did one time, sir? Yeah, I'll be damn glad I was around. Yeah. Yes, sir, I am. SG3. Wow. There's one. Of course, it's one of those areas of doctrine that people like to take pot shots at. You know, you'll hear this thing twisted around. Oh, well, this is just nothing to try to get people to come to your church. To promise them these empty things. Things they can't see. You can't even explain it to them. Yeah, you're right. The Bible tells me I can't. But it doesn't mean it's not in the Bible. Either you live a life of faith or you run around amok like most of the negative people out there in the world wanting to take issue in regards to a Bible class. It's just one of those areas that doctrine has to communicate it to you. You have to grasp it from doctrine because you're positive. To understand really the importance and what this is going to mean in regards to your person. It is going to determine your quality of life for all eternity in terms of prestige, acknowledgement, approbation by others, and not in a simple way. Etc. See. SG3, surpassing grace, phase 3. Yes, the flesh, it can't think that far ahead. The flesh can't. It's got to have it now. It's got to be physical and in this life, see. Well, we live beyond that. Obviously, we recognize the importance of these things. And it's all part of God's blessing too, phase 2, living grace, etc. Bible doctrine in and of itself. To get sound doctrine, seeking the entire counsel. I don't care, even if you're in a Christian nation, supposedly. You're not going to find it every street corner. You're not going to find it out there in the denominational world, which is probably at least 98, if not 99% of the Christian world today is denominationalism. The independents are the extreme minority, and then out of those, you got your Calvinists, you got your Arminians, you know, the legalists, the ones that don't believe in volition, all the other types of things that will crop in. How God brought you to this little Bible class group in Cleveland, Ohio, whenever he did, out of all the other churches that you could have stepped into, or maybe you did, or could have landed in otherwise. And the list goes on. Two, obviously, praise directed towards God and His essence. To understand God, His plan, obviously it gives us the capability and more ability to articulate our thanksgiving in this regard. Again, Matthew 6. Here, verse 9. Hallowed be your name. Let's see. That is recognition of the holiness of God that is absolute in terms of His morality, His righteousness, His justice, His veracity, His dependability, immutability. To be thankful for these things, that God's not gonna, one of those who's going to turn around and change His mind and all of a sudden say, oh, well, we've got new rules to run by now in regards to what is already pre-revealed otherwise. Not going to go halfway through human history and all of a sudden say, well, all right, salvation, I've changed my mind. It's not going to be by faith anymore. You got to do this, you got to do that. If you don't do that in time, then you're dead. You're lost. He's not going to do that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Recognizing His attributes, His ability to be all places at all times throughout the entirety of history. Luke 11:2. Again, parallel. Your kingdom come, recognizing only in His kingdom can you find absolute freedom from the tyranny of the world in which we live in, under perfect standards of righteousness. Psalm 148. Psalm 148, Psalm 149, and Psalm 150. All Psalms of praise. You can read these Psalms to give you doctrine, concepts of praise towards God in regards to His person. Praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord from the heavens. One who exists beyond a stellar space, outside our very dimension. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels, all of His messengers. of the entirety of His creation. Praise Him, all His armies, those serving God, His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon, even creation is personified in regards to the magnitude and greatness of what they are in creation. Praising Him, the symbolism as might be also inferred in regards to the sun reflecting the deity of God, God the Son, and the moon looking and reflecting His humanity. The moon reflects the light of the sun. See. Full moon looks at the perfect hypostasis, the new moon where it's all black, pictures Christ's work on the cross. So doctrine, see. Doctrine attached to all things. Praise Him, all stars of light. In the midst of a universe in a night sky that's otherwise dark and black, you have the comfort of the light of the stars that are there that shows you the pervasion of light even in the midst of darkness. The elements of light that always exist. Praise Him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Or rain that we get. Let them praise the name of the Lord, of Yahweh, His reputation, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. What He has determined and has revealed for us in the Bible, these things will come all to fruition. Praise the Lord from the earth. Sea monsters and all deeps, all the creatures of His creation in the waters. Fire and hail and snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Fulfilling His word. See, as He's in control of all weather. As it may be implemented in regards to this planet that we live on and its effect upon mankind. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. Kings of the earth and all people. So those are all animate and inanimate objects personified in praising God. You look at some of these animals out there in this world and the genius of God is just unbelievable. How people can actually think that somehow they came about by chance. Man, that takes a more acid than you can give me to get my mind off that far. Not that I want any, but you get my drift. That has got to be so ludicrous. But yet, look how many people, doctors, lawyers, great merchants, fall for this crap. The very thing prophesied that would exist in the last days to let us know as evidence, yeah, we're here. Look at the world the way it is now. The only people that's ever looked at people on planet Earth in the form of such evil as that we are seeing right now was Noah and his family. And obviously the positive believers that lived with him at that time. But that generation. We are being eyewitnesses of the world returning to such level of evil. Through human viewpoint. Understand? So much of the evil that is pervasive in our societies is based on human viewpoint. The actions are only a result of that. Yeah, you can have homosexuality throughout history. But if you got the divine viewpoint, it's squelched. It's put in its place and dealt with appropriately before God. But human viewpoint comes in and says it's all right. Then it goes rampant. See. Kings of the earth and all peoples, verse 11. Princes and all judges of the earth. And whether they do or not now, eventually they will. They'll all bow before the Creator and acknowledge Him as such. Both young men and virgins. old men and children, all age groups, adolescents, those coming of age, and those who are mature. 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. And He has lifted up a horn for His people. A horn that represents power and is often used as a call to assemble or for battle, things of this nature. Praise for all His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. As the psalm, the psalms are meant to be put to music. And is praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Looking at the entity of the concept of assembly in regards to God's chosen. And how He recognizes them in unity as such. Not just independent islands to themselves, see. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation, with deliverance. They will ultimately be adorned in a complete deliverance as a people and as a nation. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. To get the rosy glows from Bible doctrine. See, that's the idea. Recognizing truly who and what God is and what it means to have Him as a friend and on your side and in charge of everything as your protector, as your rock, as your guide in life. Let the high praises, verse 6, be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Ready to defend the truth of Bible doctrine as their power, as their weapon to wield and empower. See. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. All this will come about and occur ultimately in the millennium in a physical and real way. To execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. Looking at ultimate vindication. And then finally, Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. His sanctuary is His purpose place of manifestation. There is no such thing as a sanctuary illustrated in the New Testament for the church. You know, you hear churches called sanctuaries. Where do you get that at? No, they're a building. And that's just that as confusion in regards to what a church is. See. Praise Him in His mighty expanse, or temple. Praise Him for His mighty works. Looking at the entirety of the universe that is so awesome, spellbinding in contemplation. What He is able to accomplish and do. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. In all aspects of expression, musical instruments, as it may be for celebration. One may dance. It doesn't mean you have to let your SCA rule you. You can keep doctrine in front of you. I doubt they're twerking it and praising God at the same time. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. That would be like a flute. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke 10:21. The Son rejoices. At the very time He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit, in the sphere of fellowship with God, and said, I praise You, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You did hide these things from the wise and intelligent and did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it is well-pleasing in Your sight. God's perfect plan and His ability to know who's not negative, who's positive, in revealing His Word, etc. And then Hebrews 13:15, as we read that previous class. Through Him, that's Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Watching what comes out of our mouth, that it honors and glorifies God in all aspects, which is obviously through the venue of Bible doctrine. Father, again, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to utilize these things. In Jesus' name, amen.